This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome in, Diehard Nation, to hour number two. Really, really appreciate you guys tuning in. Love having you tune in. It's a pleasure doing this show every night for you, knucklehead fan, lucky enough to be on the radio. Yeah, this weekend was pretty good. Best football weekend ever, kid. That's how we sound in Boston, ever, kid. 15 points total separate the four wins. And it was a great weekend if you don't gamble and you didn't lose. I lost some, so it was okay. But listen to this. Tennessee sacked Burrow 9 times. Tennessee Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times. That's a lot. Mercy. Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers, held the San Francisco 49ers offense to 6 points. And the Buffalo Bills, don't pay you Bills, bet the Bills, as Mr. Linehan likes to say on Thursday nights. The Buffalo Bills took the lead with 13 seconds to go. And all three of those teams lost. It is unbelievable. It is flat out unbelievable what happened in the NFL this weekend. Roger Goodell gets paid $42 million a year. If he's responsible for this, which we all know he's not, but he's the guy in charge, so I guess he is. Man, he should get $142 million because it was awesome, Mike D.
It was awesome.
Yes. Awesome. We have the AFC Championship game this weekend. Cincinnati at Kansas City. Chiefs are a touchdown favorite. I'm going to buy that down to 6.5. I'm going to play my biggest bet of the year. I'm going to bet a Hyundai. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet the Kansas City Chiefs for a car. That's what I'm going to do. San Francisco in the late game at the LA Rams, -3.5. Those are the two games this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. Take a break. When we return, the sports professor was at Raymond James Stadium watching the Rams defeat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. We'll talk to Rick Horro next.
You're back with the Diehards. The Diehards. Time now to go to the phones to visit with the sports professor himself, Rick Horro.
He sounds like a smart man.
Smart man, because he joins the Diehards. That's what he does. Progressive Guest Line, Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quotes at progressive.com today. Good friend of the show, the best in the business. He's a sports business consultant guru. He does it all from horrosports.com. I'd love to call him the sports professor, Mr. Rick Horro. How are you, pal?
So, first of all, why Monday? Why are we doing it early in the week? I'm so excited, but our normal Tuesday, Wednesday, have you decided that this is not the appropriate day on a regular basis? Or what are we doing?
I just like to change things up a little and keep you on your toes. That's how I roll.
Good. Well, you know, I'm at really good friends' houses in Sarasota.
All right.
And we're kind of like.
So how many drinks deep are you?
I went to the Bucs game yesterday. I went to the locker
you
room
did.
After the most. Yeah, it was first of all, it was the best football weekend ever, as you know.
Yes.
Just because the Patriots weren't in it, there are a lot of people who are, you know, out there listening as. But you know, if you didn't lose last week, these were the best four teams that. Money could buy, and they were very close to the next four, right? Don't you agree? I mean, the parity, remember what I said last week about the parity of the NFL has gotten lost? Well, not now. Four games could have been decided by 3 points by the visiting team if Buffalo didn't know how stupid they looked in the last 13 seconds. So
Rick, talk about Raymond James Stadium. You were there yesterday, and talk about the roller coaster ride where they get down 27-3, they come all the way back to tie it up, and then they lose with like less than a minute to go. What was that roller coaster ride like, and what were the fans like?
The fans were first entitled because everybody thought Brady would be a ride to the Super Bowl. Then they thought, this isn't working. Then they thought, let's all leave. And I heard a lot of stories from people who had left after 27-3, 27-10, 27-20, and all of a sudden it's tied. And then who would have thought that the Buccaneers would have blitzed and left a safety on Cooper Kupp at the last play of the game, and then, you know, running 40 yards down the field to beat the clock and clocking it and then having a field goal. It was amazing. And then down in the locker room at the end of the game, three syllables, or is it four? Moss Oleum? Moss Liam. That's four. Is that five? Is that four? A lot of syllables. Anyway, they were really mad. And in your vernacular, they were really upset. So Tom Brady is not the hero he was. And listen, it was amazing. 28-3, the Falcons come back. 27-3, Rams almost come back. He's still my hero. I don't care about anybody else's hero. He's my hero.
Now, the most important question of the night, is, as all Die Hard Nation wants to know, where were you sitting at Raymond James Stadium? What luxury box?
Pretty close to the center. I'm not going to get specific, but it was a lot of the reporters who were there were pounding on the box, asking why you're eating lobster and shrimp. Yeah. So,
okay.
Listen, you know, it was a great time because there is a difference between being in one of those suites and being in a normal pedestrian area. And you know how I roll. I need to be in the highest level possible. I've been taught by some of my mentors. One of the guys who is in this, you know, house right now. Yeah, I have. He's my best friend in the world, but he's a little entitled, a little empowered. He's, you know, been around people. He's used to kind of first-class treatment. If it's not first-class in this or that, he doesn't want to do it. And I just got to tell you, you got to be a man of the people occasionally, right?
I hear you. So what's your boy's name, by the way?
Yeah, but it's I won't. He lives in Sarasota. I won't get specific.
I'm just curious. What do you and he think about Tom Brady? Do you guys think he's coming back?
So does the casual fan think Tom Brady is coming back?
No, I want to know if Rick Horro and your BFF think he's coming back.
Do I think he's coming back? Why wouldn't he? He's 44. He's going to have the best offensive line ever. He'll play at 45, 46, and he'll try to figure out how someone can play at his level. He'll get his receivers back. His demand is going to be, I want the same line. I want two or three more all-pro offensive linemen just for the hell of it.
Yep.
I want Godwin back, but I also want one or two more receivers. My defense is great. Maybe give me one more killer guy. And by the way, if I troll for the best players in the NFL, who wouldn't want to play with me? That's his point.
Hey, man. And here's
my question, but this is for you. Don't start promoting stuff. I got a question for you.
I'll wait. Forget the sponsor. They're not important. Rick Horro is more important than the sponsor. Go ahead.
I don't care about your sponsors, okay? I care about me. Does Gronkowski come back?
Yes, he does. He'll do whatever Tom Brady tells him to. He's a puppet.
Yes, I agree. What if Brady doesn't? Gronkowski kind of folds it up?
Gronkowski says, see you later. I'm going to go party like a rock star if Tom Brady calls it quits. Yes, he's a puppet to Tom Brady.
All right, did you plug your sponsor? Take your 5 seconds to plug your sponsor.
Quote Buy and Save on Home Insurance from Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Go ahead, Rick.
Thanks. Perfect.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So here's my question. if Brady says, I got all my guys back, don't you realize you're in a time of Babe Ruth, of Tiger Woods, maybe Cal Ripken?
Maybe.
You know, well, come on, maybe. Five years from now, when the guy's gone, it's going to be like, we miss him. And I know he's Boston, but we miss him. Right?
Hey, here's the million-dollar question, Rick, because I know you follow sports and you love this team, you love football, and you're there in Florida. Does Bruce Arians come back? Because to me, he should be fired. He stinks.
Yeah. I can't, you know, what can I say about that? I mean, you know, one of the things that happened in this amazing four games is that you see pretenders versus contenders, and you realize how important it is to be on the same page as everybody else. And I would agree with that, by the way.
Hey, by the way, ratings this weekend. We talk about how great these NFL football games were, and everybody say it's the greatest football weekend in the history of mankind in football and blah, blah, blah. Ratings, they have to be off the charts, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen all the overnights yet, and all right. I will in 2 hours.
Yep.
But I'm assuming that they're really, really good, including last night. That may have gone down as the best football game in the history of any kind of football.
Soccer, agreed.
Football, paddle ball. A racquetball, pickleball, whatever ball you want to talk about. I mean, that was incredible.
Agree.
And, you know, talk about being let go or chastised. How do you let someone back in the game when you have 13 seconds? Squib the damn ball and let the guy,
Sean McDermott's a dope as well. Yep, agree.
Yeah, well, right. But the reason why he's okay is he's got Josh Allen for the next 400 years.
Agree.
And those of us who have drafted Tua, you know, now we're thinking about what is our plan B.
Hey, the guy who runs Horosports.com, Tom Brady, marketing train, what will it be if and when he calls it quits? I mean, again, I don't believe he's walking away. Everyone's kind of questioning that, and I guess that's what you do. It's kind of the bit that you do in radio and media, and, oh, my God, he's going to walk away, and everybody talks about it. He's not walking away. He was an MVP candidate. He may win the MVP. He put up ridiculous numbers. He's still on the highest level in football. He's not declining. He won 13 friggin' games. He was that close to winning, to getting back to an NFC Championship game and close to a Super Bowl. He's not walking away. But the reality is, when Tom Brady walks away, what is the marketing ability for him? Does it go away, or is he just the king still?
He's the king in different contexts. I don't think he's the king
okay.
around football. I think the more he is affiliated with boardrooms, the common man,
all right.
You know, experiences of success, he makes more money. I don't think he coaches. I do think he gets an equity interest in a team. Might be Tampa, and might, ironically, it might be a little bit of the Patriots. I mean, wouldn't you be interested if Tom Brady had, you know, 11% of the Patriots, maybe 3% of the Patriots? Because
yeah, I would be more interested if Giselle did, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's not relevant to you, okay? I mean, stick to, you know, keep your eyes forward. Just, you know, be quiet and, you know, deal with the questions the way they're presented, okay? Now, the bottom line of him is he and Giselle are a tremendous package, right? And so
yeah, that's quite a package, yes.
Listen, increases value over time, regardless of how you want to interpret your juvenile comments. And the bottom line of all of this is he becomes, as she, much more valuable after the NFL. How's that? Is that a good answer?
That's a great answer. Hey, Rick Hora, one final question. MLB lockout. Do you have an update for us? Because everyone was like, hey, you know what? It's not going to affect spring training. It's not going to affect the opening day. It's not going to affect this or that. They can't see eye to eye. And when they weren't talking for weeks in and now a couple of months here, I'm telling you the MLB season is in jeopardy. Where do you see this thing? What are you hearing? MLB season, is it going to start on time? Because I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's starting on time, but what does on time really mean? I do think regular season may start on time. I do think Arizona and Florida spring training is at significant risk.
All right.
And I do think the ownership proposal and then the players' proposal of taking out the mandatory free agency at a certain age probably helps the negotiation. So I do think there is incentive, which I didn't believe before, on both sides to make a deal to preserve the $10 to $13 billion of revenue that's generated every year through and about Major League Baseball. So my prediction is it gets resolved by February 26. How's that?
That's a great date. Hey, man, appreciate the time as always. You enjoy hanging out with your pal and your coucherie board and all the good stuff you guys are doing and all the high-end wine you're going to probably drink tonight, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. There he is, Rick Hora, sports professor, horosports.com. The best in the business. And Mike D.
I'm the best in the business.
Yeah, you are. You know, I asked him about the whole Tom Brady thing, and everyone's questioning it, whether or not he's coming back. You put up MVP numbers, and you win
three touchdowns, you over 5,000 yards.
I mean, it's stupid numbers. and you win 13 games, and you're 3 points away from getting to the NFC Championship game, coming off a Super Bowl win, he's not walking away like that. Everyone goes, that was such a gutty win because he came all the way back. He's not walking away like that. He's walking away when he wins another Super Bowl or two Super Bowls or three Super Bowls. Whatever the hell it is, he's winning a Super Bowl and walking away. He's not walking away losing by three in a divisional round.
I agree. I mean, like Rick said, he's got that line.
Yep.
He's got amazing receivers. I don't know what their cap issues are, but I mean,
they'll figure it out.
If they can add anything, they're a shoo-in to me to be competing for the Super Bowl again next year. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we return, San Francisco 49ers, he covers them from the Niners Wire USA Today. Also works for 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He's a friend of the show. Kyle Madsen hops on the Progressive guest line with the diehards. Keep it right here. It is the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome back to the Diehards here on the Progressive Guest Line, which is cooking tonight. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Covers the San Francisco 49ers for the Niners Wire USA Today. 95.7 or 95.7, I should say, The Game. Kyle Madsen, friend of the show, is hanging out with the Diehards. What's up, Kyle? How are you, pal?
I'm hanging in there, Anthony. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. You fired up with your 49ers. I mean, how can you not be, right?
Yeah, pretty unbelievable that they are that they're at this point. If you had told me in Week 9 after they lost to Colt McCoy at home, if you'd told me they were going to be in the NFC Championship, I would have had a pretty hard time believing you.
13-10 win over the Packers. I don't know how they did it, but how did they pull this upset off? Obviously, we know the punt was huge, but how did they do it, in your opinion?
They got behind their defense, and that's what
right.
I mean. That's what we saw for most of 2019 was a really good defense, and that's what they did. They that game never felt like it was over. They came up with a huge.
It actually felt like it was over the first drive where Green Bay came down and scored that easy. You were like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible, and then all of a sudden, Green Bay couldn't do anything. And you're right. Then it never felt over. But that first drive, it was like, I may have had some money on the Green Bay Packers. I felt like that first drive, I was like cashing my money. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And then all of a sudden, the whole game, it just stopped. It was weird.
Yeah, you're right. The first drive wasn't great, but we've seen the Niners do that where they give up a big first drive and then shut the faucet off a little bit. I didn't think they'd only give up 10 points, though. It never felt over in the sense of like in the fourth quarter when Green Bay had to kick a field goal to make it 10-3, if they had scored a touchdown there to make it 14-3 with I think like 8 or 9 minutes left, then it's over.
Yep.
Like the Niners weren't scoring one touchdown, let alone two. So they just kind of kept it within striking distance and made a couple plays on special teams, which is pretty remarkable given what their special teams was this year.
But Kyle, talking to all my buddies and talking to everybody here on the radio show, it was like, you know, everyone was talking about the Niners could be dangerous in these playoffs. And you mentioned, you know, well, I don't know, it was Week 9, they struggled, whatever. But then everyone's going, you know what, the San Francisco, they could be dangerous in these playoffs. Be careful with them. Were you buying into that? It seems like they just started clicking, and it's like, you know what, back off, because this could be that team, like that what was it, the Giants team that was 9-7 that all of a sudden started clicking and wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that 07 Giants team, that's who they're being compared to, because that 07 Giants team also went into Lambeau and swung an upset. But man, I just I did buy the idea that nobody would want to play them because it is a big physical offensive line. They get downhill in the run game, they play good defense. And that kind of stuff travels this time of year. Like that makes it really difficult. They just play a style of football that like they turn every game into a rock fight, and they have the best rock throwers in the league. And so they just they turn every game into their style of game, and that makes a lot of teams in the modern NFL really uncomfortable because they're kind of a throwback team.
talk about the QB1 and Jimmy G. We're all obviously familiar with him here in Boston. Where is the fan base at? They still think that Jimmy G's the guy? Are they still split? Where are they at? What's the percentage? Because obviously we know what they did with the draft and Trey Lance and all that stuff. What's going on with the fan base and Jimmy G?
It's still 50-50.
Like, really? It's still 50-50. He's in the NFC Championship game, and it's still 50-50.
Yeah, because
that's crazy.
He's completing like less than 60% of his passes in the playoffs.
All right.
Or just over 60% of his passes. He's throwing for 150 yards a game, no touchdowns, two picks. Like, when you watch Jimmy Garoppolo, and yeah, okay, he's in the NFC Championship, but then when you watch the Bills-Chiefs game,
I know.
And it's like, oh, that's a quarterback place. But, or you watch Joe Burrow get his ass kicked in Tennessee for four quarters and still find a way to pull out a win. Like, that's the kind of stuff that it's like, man, I don't know if Jimmy has that. And people know he's gone. Like, there's no keeping him around. Like, we haven't learned anything new about Jimmy Garoppolo. He kind of is what he is. He's a cog in a larger machine, but he's never going to be a guy who if the 49ers defense gives up 30, you can just put it in number 10's hands and have him go win you a game. He's just not that guy.
So is he gone if they win the Super Bowl? Is he really gone?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
You can't.
Wow.
Because look at
that's mind-boggling to me.
But look at how they played against Dallas. Like, look at what they did. Dallas had a chance to win that game because of a mistake by Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, the Niners never step on a team's neck and just put them away because their quarterback isn't good enough and their coach doesn't trust their quarterback to be good enough. And that's just not like, okay, it worked in 2019. Okay. And it's got them to the NFC Championship game this year, but ultimately they fell short in 2019 because their quarterback wasn't good enough. If they fall short again this year, that's going to be the problem. And you cannot sustainably win in the modern NFL with a quarterback who you have to carry along with a defense and a running game. That's just not realistic.
Quote by and save on home insurance from Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. On the Progressive guest line, covers the San Francisco 49ers. Niners Wire, USA Today, 95.7 The Game. Kyle Madsen, friend of the show, is on the Progressive guest line with the diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. So let me get this straight. If Jimmy G and the 49ers win the NFC Championship game and get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, next year, Trey Lance is the quarterback.
Yeah, unless the one caveat is unless they think Trey Lance isn't ready.
I'm blown away. I'm blown away.
Jimmy just hasn't done anything that has made you, like, his flaws that made them trade up for Trey Lance have been exposed even further this year. Like, they're not in the NFC Championship game because of the quarterback. You have to try and get better at every position all the time, and the 49ers can get substantially better under center. And I think the way to look at it is not like, oh, they've been to the NFC Championship game twice with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, man, think of how good they can be if Trey Lance pans out. If Trey Lance turns into a Josh Allen type of quarterback, I don't know if he will, but if he does, like, how good are the 49ers going to be? I think that's the way it has to be looked at.
Kyle, less than a minute left here. Okay, you see the 49ers beating the Rams?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to at this point. I mean, they beat them six times in a row, and it's not a fluke. Like,
all right.
They match up with them very, very well. So I like the Niners' chances for sure.
And in the big game, let's just say the San Francisco 49ers are in the big game in L.A. taking on Patrick Mahomes. What happens?
Man, I would need to. That's a loaded question. I'd like their defense to give their offense a shot for sure. But I mean, that's just the thing. Is overcoming Patrick Mahomes is not super easy. So we'll have to see.
Hey Kyle, keep up the good work. We appreciate the time. I'm still stunned. Jimmy G can win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl or get to an NFC Championship game yet again and not be the QB1 of the San Francisco 49ers next year. I'm stunned, but. You know better than anybody, and we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, watch the guy play football, and you'll understand. So be dialed into that on Sunday.
I actually watch him a lot here in New England, and I get it. I think he's pretty good. I don't think he's that good, but I think he's pretty good. And I don't know how you get rid of a QB1 that gets you to the NFC Championship game. Hey Kyle, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always. Coming up next, Dr. Football John Serenitis hops on the Progressive guest line next with the Diehards Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Let's get right to it because I don't want to waste any time and doing any reads and all that stuff. Progressive guest line, boom. John Serenita, Start Your Football. How are you, pal?
Good. How's it going, my friend?
Hey, I know you're a big Metallica fan. They're coming to Boston, the Boston Calling. Are you going?
The plan is to go. However, all here's right. The problem. What's up? Like the setup there. Okay, I don't understand why I need to buy three nights worth of tickets. So I don't like that, for one. It pisses me off. In 2017, I saw Tool there. We got one-day tickets. So my hope is that one-day tickets at the market soon and I can go on Sunday. Look, I've seen Foo Fighters live.
Yep.
I've seen some of those other bands. I just want to see one band, and that's Metallica. And that's
they will do that, and I promise you I'm going to hook you up because Food Truck Festivals of America, my partner company of this radio show, is going to be partners with Boston Calling, and I'm going to hook you up, okay? So you just hang with me. I got you.
Well, if you're willing to do that, then that'll take our 22-year friendship to another level, my friend.
All right, there you have it, man. Hey, obviously, you're called Dr. Football. You love football. It's in your blood. It's the best thing in the history of mankind. Best weekend of football ever. Everyone's talking about it. But you know what? To me, it wasn't the best weekend of football. It was football that we love, that was great games, that, to me, every weekend's the best weekend of football. I can go to my alma mater, Curry College in Milton, Massachusetts. I can go to a high school football game. I can go to a big-time football game at Boston College or a big-time football game at Ohio State, Michigan, whatever it is, NFL. Football is football, and it's brilliant every weekend, and I love it. So you know what? Come on, guys. Football is the best.
It is. It truly is. And I think that the reason why people were referring to it as the best playoff weekend in history is obviously because the games were good. They all came down to a last-second field goal.
Yep.
And I think you know how it is. People do get caught up in the moment.
Yep.
And it's hard not to, especially when you look at the way that Kansas City-Buffalo game played out in the fourth quarter. But, I said this to a bunch of people today, Pep. The NFL, they just can't take a misstep. They can't mess up. They always seem to time it right. And once again, they take the AFC and NFC championship game format. They do that in the divisional round. And not only that, then they end up getting four really good matchups, and they end up getting four great games. And it's just the NFL. The NFL is king. They do it right. They're in your face 12 months out of the year. They're unabashed about it. And then stuff happens to fall their way. The wild card games are meh, but the divisional round, which I've always said is always the best round of the four, the divisional round is always usually pretty good. This weekend was fantastic.
15 points separate the four games. It was unbelievable, Dr. Football. And again, you're still going to get all the people that are out there going complaining, and that's just what people do. I would argue that people will complain regardless of how good the product is. They're going to complain regardless of whatever the situation is. These people are going to complain. Complain about the overtime rules. Stop it. I love the overtime rules. I don't think it's a problem. I love that they changed the fact that you can come down and score a field goal and the other team gets the ball back and can score another field goal or get a touchdown and win the game. You know what? To me, it's if you're on defense, if you're complaining about your team not getting the ball on offense, if you're Buffalo and Josh Allen, then you know what? Have your defense step up and stop the friggin' ball. Because to me, if you can't stop Kansas City to go all the way down the field, you know, from the 25-yard line and score a touchdown on a fade in the end zone to Kelsey, who's brilliant, we all know that, then you know what? You don't deserve to win. Stop them on a field goal or stop them with no points and go down and win the game yourself. I don't mind the overtime rules. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't either. I mean, let's not forget, it's sudden death. Sudden death means if they score a touchdown, they win. And I
correct.
Think people lose sight of that.
Correct.
So I don't mind them either, but I do see the counter argument that the offense should at least get a shot to tie it. That being said, I don't see any scenario where they change it. There hasn't, despite the fact that the Chiefs tried to change it after 2018 and there's been a call for it, I just don't think there's that overall yearning to change it. I think generally speaking, the competition committee, the owners, they're happy with the format. They're going to stick
with it. I love it.
Look, yeah, and at the end of the day, you hit the nail on the head. Get a stop. That's what it comes down to. They couldn't get a stop with 13 seconds left. They gave up the game-tying field goal. At the end of the day, their defense wasn't playing well in that situation anyway. And then when you lose the toss, it's the kiss of death at that point, given the way their defense was playing. So I get why people don't like it and why it bothers them. But at the same time, again, conceptually speaking, it's sudden death. If that's the case, either get the stop or if you give up the touchdown, the game's over.
But, Doc, again, you know, Kansas City comes down and scores the touchdown with Kelce. Now they kick the extra point. Let's say Kansas City misses that extra point. Now Buffalo comes down and scores, kicks the extra point, gets it, and they win. I don't get it. You know what? Stop them with a field goal so you get a chance to tie it with another field goal or win it with a touchdown, or stop them with no points and then go down and kick a field goal and win it. You have all the opportunity in the world. Football isn't just offense. It's offense and defense. Your defense needs to play and step up in overtime. So you didn't get the heads or tails call. To me, that's, and everyone's joking, he should have called heads. He called tails. Stop it. Have your defense, which, by the way, was the best defense in all of football in the NFL, stop the Kansas City Chiefs and have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, of course, at the end of the game when they score to take the lead, of course, there's been some debate as to whether or not they should have kicked off. The ball, of course, goes into the end zone. They get the ball at the 25. You know, I went on Twitter and said I felt that they should have put it on the ground. They should have kicked it, or at the very least tried to place kick it so that they could kick it in between the returners and the third layer. They didn't do that either. They kicked it in. They opted to kick it in the end zone. They gave them the ball at the 25. Look, here's the thing. Even if you kick it off to them and Pringle catches it at the 10, he could still return it. Yeah, that would take some time off the clock. But that's probably the most explosive team in football in that situation. And I'm surprised they didn't put Hill and Hardman back there. But had they done that, then that decision wouldn't have been the right decision either. So at the end of the day, they obviously made the wrong decision. But they had their opportunities to win that game. You're up with 13 seconds left. You got to seal the deal. Your defense has to play better. Their safeties are playing 30 yards off the ball. They're in some kind of a quasi-prevent coverage. It's just they completely mismanaged those last 13 seconds. And I think Sean McDermott is a terrific coach. He's done a great job getting that team to a place where they're a yearly contender now. But the last 13 seconds, this is why you practice situations. They botched that situation. They shouldn't have kicked the ball into the end zone. They should have either forced them to return it or squibbed it. And you can't be playing prevent or some form of prevent in that situation where you're giving up chunk plays, and then they're allowed to get in the field goal range with a kicker who probably is the strongest leg in the league outside of Matt Prater.
The way they handled
that didn't make sense.
You think he's a terrific coach. I think he's a dope. I think he's a dope for not kicking that thing and running clock out. I think he's a dope for getting wrapped up in the whole Belichick web with the whole Monday Night Football thing of them passing 3 yards and coming out in the press conference and acting like the way he did. But the reality is, Doc, you know this better than anybody. He's probably a great coach. But I'm curious, another coach, segue here, a terrible segue, but Bruce Arians. I think he's an awful coach. I don't get it. I don't get what the deal is with Bruce Arians. Tom Brady's a brilliant leader, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Byron Leftwich was not a great quarterback in this league, but is a great offensive coordinator. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been spectacular. What do you think of Bruce Arians? Because to me, I'm not a fan.
Well, I think Arians is a good coach.
Okay.
Again, you don't win a Super Bowl by being a dope and a bad coach, because that means if you win a Super Bowl and you're a dope, then you either had out-of-worldly talent that just ignored you and did whatever they wanted, which is not the case in the NFL. You won't win if your players do that.
Right.
Or you're enough of a coach that they buy in, and they buy into the system, and they perform for you and for themselves. And at the end of the day, they won a Super Bowl last year. So he's had success as a coordinator. He's had success as a quarterback's coach. He's won a Super Bowl as a head coach. The bottom line is this. Look, it's hard to repeat in this league, and people don't talk about
this
enough because we get so hung up on Tom Brady and his greatness, and somehow Tom Brady's going to will them to victory. Well, guess what? They fell behind yesterday 27-3, and he couldn't will them back to victory. And let me tell you something. If the Rams don't let it run down their leg in the second half of that game's over. If Cam Akers doesn't fumble going in right before the half, that game is over. But the Rams allowed the moment to get to them. The idea that they're playing against Tom Brady got to them. And that's why that was a game. If the Rams knew how to handle that game in the second half, that Tom Brady can't do anything to bring them back in that situation. The only thing he does is he makes the score look more competitive. So to your original point, do I think he's a dope? No. Do I think he's probably lost that locker room a little bit? Yeah, after the Antonio Brown fiasco, I think that hurt them, losing Brown, and then the way that was handled hurt them. And I think, look, here's the thing. When you have a room full of veterans like that, when you don't win it, there's going to be some sour taste in people's mouths. It'll be interesting to see what happens there moving forward. Does Brady come back, and what do they do with some of their free agents? His tenure there will be tested this offseason, though. So we'll see what kind of coach he is beyond the Super Bowl now.
Sean Serenitas, Dr. Football, hanging out on the Progressive Guest Line, Copy and Save on Home Insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Hanging out on the Progressive Guest Line with the diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Hey, man, Mahomes, we know how good he is. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs QB1. But is he that good, or is it all the skilled players around him? And we just talked about the coaching staff for Tampa Bay and Sean McDermott coaching. Andy Reid is the fat genius, and we know how good Eric Bieniemy is. Does it take away from Mahomes' brilliance by how great the coaching staff is, and not for nothing, but he has the best offensive weapons in all of football?
I take offense to what you just called Andy Reid, because I think I'm a pretty good football coach. He knows a lot about the game. I haven't been called a fat genius, and I think you are
a fat genius, and you know how I feel about you, so shutty.
I know, but I'm trying to not be a fat genius. I need to stick on this diet so I can be a medium-built genius.
All right, fair enough.
I think it's the perfect storm there. I think Mahomes is great. I think Mahomes is a terrific talent. And
but Doc, everybody wanted to compare. Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? Do you compare Mahomes and the offensive weapons in Andy Reid? Like, don't you have to throw that into the equation?
You do, of course. But I think it's, like I said, it's a perfect storm. I think you have an elite-level talent at quarterback, and I think you have that skill group that matches his skill set. And then you have an offensive head-minded head coach and an offensive coordinator that are on the same page. They're creative. Right. They know how to use their pieces, and I think that's why it all works. Look, people have grown to hate the Chiefs now. Four straight AFC title game appearances. You know, the success had gone to two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. But the bottom line is, when they drafted Patrick Mahomes out of Texas Tech, more than enough people out there second-guessed that move. And, you know, he plays the game like he's in a backyard, and all he does is chuck it up there. And, he plays with no discipline, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Well, guess what? Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, they've reined him in. They allow him to play to his strengths. He's a tremendous athlete, terrific arm. The skill group works with him. That's why they're as good as they are. It's just that simple. Yes, I think the credit needs to be more distributed, though, because I think that's what you're saying. I think more credit needs to be given to the people around Mahomes. He gets more of the credit than he probably should, because he does play with an elite-level skill group.
Cincinnati, Kansas City, Cincinnati have a chance in that game?
Yeah, they do. Because
really?
They do, but the problem is pass protection. Can they pass protect? They couldn't do it on Saturday night. They got lucky to win that game, giving up 9 sacks. They're going to have to do a much better job of protecting Joe Burrow. And to me, when you look at it, and I watching that game on Saturday, Pep, it wasn't just that their offensive line is bad. They also don't do Joe Burrow any favors. They're running vertical routes.
He was sacked 9 times, by the way.
They're 12 to 15, 20-yard vertical routes, and not putting anything in front of the guy where he can dump it off, a check down, a cross, or something like that. So Zach Taylor needs to do a better job of game planning in this game and giving Joe Burrow more outlets in the passing game. But they can compete, provided they can protect him. Look, Burrow's a dude. And the fact of the matter is, that skill group is probably the one skill group in the league that's comparable to what the Chiefs have. If they can protect them, they're going to get theirs. They can make this a game.
And in the NFC Championship game, Garoppolo against Stafford, who you got?
Well, you know the old adage, it's hard to beat a team 3 times. I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to beat a team 3 times. I just think they're tougher,
they're
more physical, and they're better coached. I like San Francisco.
And in the Super Bowl, so you got San Francisco, and you got, you think
Kansas City.
So, I mean, to me, you got a defensive squad against an offensive squad. How do you see that one playing out?
It's going to play out, I think, the same way that the Super Bowl did 2 years ago. I think it's going to come down to Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't think he can do enough on offense with them throwing the ball to beat the Chiefs.
Duck Football, John Serenius, you're the best as always. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you later on down the line.
All right. Sounds good, my friend. Always good catching up.
All right, there he is. Again, Dr. Football from the New England Football Journal, John Serenitas, hopping on the Progressive guest line. We'll take our final timeout of the show. We'll come back and wrap things up. You're locked in to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome back. Final segment of the Diehards. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Mike D, for hanging out with us tonight here at the Pepe Compound, 20 minutes south of Boston. John Bellmer running rock and roll control in Houston, the best in the business, doing his thing. We'll be back tomorrow. We get the gambling show. CT Betts hangs out. He loves his hula dance. He killed it this weekend, by the way. I think he had every bet. He won huge. We'll talk with our pal Dan Lifshatz from 98.5, the Sports Hub here in Boston. He's actually in studio tomorrow at the Pepe Compound. So we're talking a lot of gambling. It's the gambling edition. Kenny White, the greatest. I call him the Wizard of Odds. The best in the business. Drew Martin also will join us, professional handicapper. Tomorrow's program, the gambling edition. You guys enjoy the games tonight? Enjoy basketball? Enjoy hockey? We'll do it all again tomorrow night. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Anthony Pepe, and you are listening to the Diehards. Pharrell on the Bench comes up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Good night.